Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Before we get started, I do want to let you know that you can pick up all of our books and ebooks and audiobooks at store.greatdetectives.net, including my first detective novel, Slime Incorporated, and All I Needed to Know I Learned from Columbo, and All I Needed to Know I Learned from Dragnet. Well, now it's time for today's episode of Michael Shane. The program's entitled The Case of the Hate That Killed.
A fourth bullet tore through the flesh on my left shoulder. There was nothing between him and me now except a tree. I stood there waiting. There were two more shots left in the gun. I caught the glint of the gun barrel in the moonlight, and then the granddaddy of all firecrackers blew up in my face.
The New Adventures of Michael Shane, Private Detective. This is your director, Bill Russo, inviting you to listen to Michael Shane, that reckless red-headed Irishman back at his old haunts in New Orleans, in another transcribed episode. We call it The Hate That Killed.
$75, $85, $86, $87. $3.87. Michael, you old capitalist, how do you do it?
Mr. Shane, you've got to listen to me. You've got to help me.
I do. Oh, Sanderson. Hey, you look better in your newspaper pictures. I thought I made it clear I wasn't interested in your case.
Put on the telephone, you wouldn't let me tell you what I want. I've got plenty of money.
I'm not interested in your money either.
Right on that door, it says Michael Shane, private detective, doesn't it? Well, doesn't it?
Yeah. It cost me two bits a letter, too. You said something about somebody wanting to kill you.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you take your troubles to the police?
I can't. I don't have anything to tell them. You think I'm a crank, don't you?
No, I think you're very charming, Mr. Sanderson. Just keep your voice down.
I know a weak, dissipated body and a mind that's crazy half the time. But if you lived one day, just one day, in the atmosphere I do, you'd be shaking just like me. I tell you, death is in the air.
Yeah, sure.
What's the matter? That scare you? I suppose you like divorce cases, alimony, spying on women. I'll bet you like spying on women.
Well, that's enough, Buster. Goodbye now.
Oh, wait a minute. I tell you, I'm going to die.
Not in my office. I'm busy. Beat it.
You don't believe me. Look, just tell me one thing.
Yeah?
One thing. Why did the insurance company refuse to sell me any life insurance?
From where I sit, you look like a mighty bad risk.
No, I've had an examination from my personal physician. There's nothing wrong with me.
That is a matter of opinion.
They wouldn't tell me the real reason. That was just an out.
All right, so what?
Just find out, that's all. Just find out why they refused me.
Well, it'll cost you 20 a day in expenses.
Well, here's my address. You'll find three houses on the estate. Mine's on the right of the big house.
I know all about you, Sanderson, and your famous father. He died the other day, didn't he?
Yes. Yes, he's dead. And he wasn't my father. Huh? He was my stepfather. That's why I use the name of Mark Sanderson. But his corruption lives on like something rotten inside you that you can't get out. Like something in your blood and your heart, and you can't tear it out.
Hey, that's cute. You ought to set it to music. Are you always this jittery?
Why shouldn't I be jittery? Do you have some water?
Water? You mean you drink water, too?
Yes, sir. My medicine, my capsules, you know, for my nerves.
You'll find some water down the hall.
You'll let me know tonight, huh? You'll find out?
Yeah. I got a pretty good hunch why they refused your policy.
You do? Why? Why?
Because they probably don't expect you to live very long, Mr. Sanderson.
We'll return in a moment to the New Adventures of Michael Shane and The Hate That Killed.
He was a fancy client, all right. Mark Sanderson, stepson of the late Gregory Larson. He was still young, maybe 30, but all his stepfather's filthy millions could never make a man out of him or give him anything decent out of life. He sat in my office, slobbering with fear, his eyes dull and empty. I don't need clients like that, but the insurance company angle intrigued me. Why had they refused Mark Sanderson's policy? Well, I turned toward my phone, feeling like a Hollywood agent doing his best for a client he didn't have much hope for, and dialed the life insurance company.
I'm sorry, you'll have to speak to Miss Bennett.
It was the old Chevron. Miss Bennett was maybe the 30th vice president in charge of bathtub accidents.
We cannot give out that information, but if you speak to Mr. Forsythe, he's the branch manager.
All I had to do was mention Mark Sanderson's name, and there'd be a long pause on the other end, and then...
No, sir, we can't discuss our policy with you, Mr. Shane. The matter is closed. It is entirely within our own discretion whether or not we choose to insure Mr. Sanderson's life or anyone else's.
No, I wasn't getting anywhere. Nobody was going to tell me the real reason they'd refused Mark Sanderson life insurance. I got Dave Sisonby on the phone. Dave used to be a private eye and then went to work as a detective for the insurance company. He said he'd see what he could do. I waited about 10 minutes, and then... Shane speaking.
Mike?
Yeah, Dave.
It's hush, hush.
Hey, what's going on? You're beginning to make me think Sanderson really has something to worry about.
I don't know. All I could tell you is that it might be a good idea to see a lawyer by the name of Ormsby.
Who?
Ormsby. O-L-M-S-B-Y. In the Lee building downtown.
That's all?
No, one more thing. You didn't get the information from me.
Philip Ormsby, attorney at law. The office was easily as old as Ormsby himself. About 70. Dried up like a prune. His voice was like parchment, dry as dust and ready to crack.
You're a shrewd young man by the look of you. But if you have in your head the good sense to avoid unnecessary trouble, you will desist from inquiring into the affairs of the Larson family.
Well, that's as pretty a turn threat as I've ever heard.
It's excellent advice, Mr. Shane. As for your question, I am not at liberty to divulge any information.
You mean to me?
To you or anyone else. I realize Mark's hysteria has caused you some trouble. And as the family attorney, I'll be glad to pay.
Smooth. I didn't think I was going to take this case, Mr. Ormsby, but you know I'm getting more and more interested.
Then you will get yourself more and more involved.
Well, that's my business, Mr. Ormsby.
Mr. Shane, you must anticipate a short life.
Could be, Mr. Ormsby. At least a happy one. So long, Pop. Well, I found out a few things before I went out to the swamps where the old man had dug in after he retreated from the New Orleans reform movement. He'd built a large house for himself, a smaller one for his second wife and stepdaughter, and another for his stepson. He kept his cousin Agatha with him. Seems he separated from his immediate family, kept tight hold on them, but didn't want them too close. And he'd finally died 2 days ago after a long illness. I went down there to his little kingdom in the swamp and got a funny feeling. A little chill, even though it was a warm night. Little rolling wisps of fog. Night sounds that had a death knell in them. There were lights on downstairs in the old man's house, but I headed for young Mark Sanderson's place. It was dark, and I thought I'd mosey around the house to the back when... somebody was playing hide-and-seek with me.
Okay, take it easy.
Who is it?
Just a friend, pal. A word to the wise thing.
All right, I'm listening.
You're not wanted around here.
Who doesn't want me?
Nobody.
Okay, I get the message.
Why don't you guys ever listen? This is for your own good, pal. I don't want to have to use this blackjack.
You made a mistake. Never tip your mitt.
You asked for it, but...
Yeah, you move pretty fast for a big guy, but not fast enough. All right, I got the blackjack now. Come on, get up. There, now beat it. Yeah. Shane, you surprise me. Must be something to it, after all. The bigger they are...
Well, that was quite an exhibition.
Oh, are they wearing revolvers with dinner dresses this year?
Who are you?
Mike Shane.
There's a flagstone path here. Let's get around front, out of the shadows.
You must be Celia, Mark's sister. But do you, have to keep pointing that gun at me?
Yes, for a while.
Well, anyhow, I'm glad to... Oh.
Yes?
Oh, my.
What's the matter? Haven't you ever seen a woman before?
Not very often like you. Is that really the color of your hair?
My hair has been red since the day I was born. You've got nice shoulders.
Oh, I like yours better. You're going to catch cold in that outfit.
You have what so many men lack these days. A sense of virility and strength.
Well, that comes from eating all my vegetables.
What are you snooping around here for?
I was looking for Mark.
Oh. You're the detective he hired.
Check.
Now you do interest me. Who was the man you were fighting with?
Don't you know?
No, I don't, Mr. Shane, isn't it?
That's right.
Mark and Aunt Agatha and Mother are in the house.
Oh?
The reading of Stepfather's Will tonight. Mr. Elmsby, the lawyer.
May I come along?
Why not? Don't go in. They've already started.
So what? I want to hear that, Will. Who's in there?
They all are. I don't want to interrupt. I'll open the door a little.
Quite a gathering.
Yes. Mother, Aunt Agatha, Mark.
Hold it on. I'll listen.
All my property, real and personal, owned by me at the time of my death, to that person from among my four heirs, who outlives all others. Whether it be my cousin Agatha, my stepdaughter Celia, my dissolute stepson Mark, or my neglectful wife Margaret.
Well, I know we do something like that all
these
the time.
Goods shall be bequeathed, therefore, only after the death of my last heir but one. And in the event my inheritor cannot by law inherit, then these goods shall pass to Philip Almsby, or his heirs and assigns.
That's it. Let's go in, Mr. Shane.
Okay.
Oh, we waited for you, Miss Celia. We didn't know where you were.
Thank you, Mr. Elmsby.
Mr. Shane, did you hear that? Did you hear?
There's your answer, Mark. That's the reason your insurance was refused.
Yes, he couldn't stop hating.
It's so obvious, isn't it? Dear Father wants us to kill one another off. Mother.
Yes, Celia.
Poor Mother. He couldn't leave you alone, could he? Even after he died.
Oh, my mother, Mr. Shane.
Mrs. Larson.
And my Aunt Agatha, Father's cousin.
Apparently, Cousin Agatha was bored by the proceedings.
Oh, and Agatha's always taking catnaps. Agatha! Agatha, wake up!
Maud, stop shaking her.
Oh, she doesn't want to wake up. I...
Aunt Agatha!
She's not moving. She's not breathing.
For a very good reason. Your Aunt Agatha's taken her last catnap. She's dead.
We'll return in a moment to the new adventures of Michael Shane and the hate that killed.
I didn't want to take the case in the first place, but it was the insurance angle that got me. Why was Mark Sanderson's insurance refused? I couldn't get any information from the insurance company. I couldn't get it from the lawyer Ormsby either. But then I found out what it was all about. The insurance company must have got wind of the terms of the old man's will. And what a will. Old Gregory Larson's wife and Mark and Celia and his cousin Agatha, all of them were heirs in a sort of 10 Little Indians routine. All his money to go to the last one to stay alive or to lawyer Ormsby. Now, the old man wanted them to kill each other off. It was that simple. I wanted a few words with my client, Mark, and I waited while Sergeant Lavery went through his routine with him and then decided to bust it up.
I want protection. I'm a taxpayer. I don't care what you have to do. Put me in jail if you want to, but I demand protection.
Slow down, Sanderson. You'll blow a gasket.
Where do you fit in here, Shane?
Well, like I told you, Sergeant, this is my client.
I suppose now you're convinced someone is going to try to kill me, Shane?
I had a talk with your sister, Celia, Mark. You didn't tell me you lived here a few days before your stepfather died.
Celia and I came here just before he died. But it didn't mean anything. You heard his will.
Yeah. Sergeant.
What?
Why don't you lock him up? Maybe jail is the safest place for him.
Okay. Speak to Denton inside.
Yes. Yes, I will. I will.
All right, Shane. Your client's taken care of. You can go home now.
Now, I think I'll stick around, Sergeant.
Why? You think there's going to be more killings?
Well, now, Sergeant, don't you? I was curious about Margaret Larson, Mark's mother. Why hadn't she been with her husband the last days of his life? Why had he called Mark and Celia, not her? The more time I spent in this atmosphere of death and hate, the more jittery I got. Margaret Larson was sitting in her living room. A low fire crackled in the fireplace. That was the only light in the room. She sat erect in an old creaky rocking chair by the fire, a light glinting on her dark brown eyes that were just a little too bright.
When will it stop, Mr. Shane? As long as I can remember, it's been like this. The fear, the hate.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything else. It's never been normal. His hatred touched all of us. That horrible, sick man inside his house. Never going outside. But you felt him all the time.
You once thought enough of him to marry him.
That was my mistake.
He hated you more than the others.
Yes. Mr. Shane.
Yes?
How did Agatha die?
It was poisoned.
What kind of poison?
I don't know yet.
What about Celia and Mark? What's going to happen to them?
Mark, by his own request, is in jail or on his way.
Jail?
Yeah, he said he wanted protection.
Oh.
And Celia, she's the kind who can take care of herself. Hey, look, I'm getting the willies or something. Can't we have some more light in here? What's the matter?
Mr. Shane.
You know what?
In all the years I've spent in this swampland, I've seemed to develop an extra sense of...
What are you trying to say?
There's someone in this room.
I don't hear anyone.
You weren't supposed to.
What? Oh, the sucker for a left hook. My pal with a warning.
Don't move, pal. Don't even blink your eyes. I got a gun. I'm not getting too close to you.
Come back for a rematch? I better answer the phone.
You better not. You.
Yes.
Answer it.
Hello? Yes, Sergeant, this is Mrs. Larson. Thank you, Sergeant.
What is it, Mrs. Larson?
Mark, isn't it funny? I can hardly feel anything. It's Mark.
Poison?
Yes. The same as Agatha.
Where?
In his car. He stopped to take a drink. There was poison in it. The same poison that killed Agatha.
All right, Shane, this is all very touching. Come on, let's go.
No, wait, just a minute.
Let's go. Getting out of this place and giving me the creeps.
Mrs. Larson, tell Celia about Mark. She's in danger. Tell her...
That's just so you'll know it's loaded, Shane. I'm sorry to spoil your rug, lady. Well, Shane, I won't aim at the rug next time.
He was smart. He kept me at arm's length. The way he handled me, you'd think I had the plague. He was so calm and so careful, I began to worry. Give me the nervous guys. Give me the guys who think they're tough. I can take care of myself with them. But this bird knew exactly what he was going to do. He acted like a trapper who'd caught a wildcat and was measuring him for the kill. We went down the hall and out the rear door. If I was going to do anything, it better be pretty quick. It had turned cold and a damp fog clung to my clothes, got into my nostrils. They took a little path that led into the swamp. Funny, I kept worrying about Celia, about protecting her, not about myself. It was all screwy, sort of detached, almost a dream sequence. Things were happening too fast, and I couldn't stop them. All right, how much farther into this swamp, laddie?
We're here. Okay. Go stand up against that tree over there.
Here?
Right there.
It was a big, fat old cypress tree, and I loved it. He thought it was going to be like an execution without a blindfold, but you can tell about these punks. You can tell when their finger itches. Before he lifted his sights, I was around on the other side, and his bullets tore chest high into the big, fat tree trunk.
Maybe your feet are showing, Shane. I got plenty of time. I got nothing but time. This is the most important thing I ever did in my life, and I'm going to do it right. Now, careful, Shane. I'm starting to come around.
Oh, it was going to be a dilly. I ducked my head out and pulled it back in. If I counted right, that made four and one in the house. Five. It was starting to edge around. It cut like a knife through the meat on my shoulder. It must have been just a nick because it only burnt. It didn't slug me. Six. He was still edging around, coming a little closer, but he still wasn't taking any chances on my jumping him.
A nick, you, Shane? Watch it now. I'm going to run. Which side, Shane?
That spun me around, caught my other arm. Bullet hit solid. I almost went down. 7.
You're counting them, Shane? I got a couple of more clips when this one's finished. Here I come again.
Who wrote that story about the hunter who wasn't happy unless he was hunting a human being? He must have laughed like this punk. He must have been off his trolley. I caught a look at the weasel's face and then... It was like the granddaddy of all fuses blowing out. I'd heard about people feeling the wind of a bullet, but this wasn't a wind. It was a gentle sigh, a little puff. He missed my nose by 1/32 of an inch. And that was 8. I dashed out after him. But he was on his way, fumbling with his gun, putting the new clip in while he ran. Only he wasn't watching where he was going. He tripped over a log. I pulled up short and I stared. There were several logs laid out in a rough circle, sort of protecting a patch of ground. Ground? A punk had tripped and gone in head first and started to sink. His body thrashed around. The head came up covered with what looked like oily mud. Only then I knew what it was. Quicksand. It didn't take 15 seconds. And he disappeared. Even if I wanted to help him, I couldn't. He came too fast. I looked and he was gone. A couple of big bubbles came up, slick and moldy. And then that was all. On the way back out to the house, my mind was wrestling with angles and worrying about Celia so hard, I almost forgot I had a slug in my shoulder. I could see a light on the second floor of Mrs. Larson's house. I prayed that that meant Celia was still alive. I ran to the front door and began pounding.
Why, Mr. Shane, why all the commotion?
Oh, you're still okay. How about your mother?
She's fast asleep in her bed. Come on in.
Yeah.
What's that?
Oh, a cat must have followed me here.
That's good luck, Mr. Shane. And old New Orleans superstition. Let her in. Sit down. Now, what... Mr. Shane, you're bleeding.
Yeah, I almost forgot.
Here, let's get that jacket off.
Okay. Easy.
Sorry. Yeah. I'll just tear the shirt open.
You heard about your brother?
Yes. Mother told me. In a way, I think perhaps he's better off. He never was very happy. My stepfather saw to that.
Oh.
Sorry. I've got to clean it out, you know.
Sure, go ahead. Celia, I'm going nuts trying to figure this thing out. Your stepfather hoped you'd kill each other off. He planned it that way. But you and your mother wouldn't bite on that kind of bait.
Thank you.
The only other answer is Ormsby. He gets everything if all of you are taken care of. I don't have anything on him. It won't gel.
I'm afraid this will sting a little.
Oh.
There. It's all over until the doctor takes over. Here, have a little of this. It's from my dear departed stepfather's wine cellar. Napoleon Brandy, 1812.
Yeah, don't often get a whiff of anything that rare. Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was clumsy of me. I'll pour you another.
Anyhow, that stray cat's going to have a good time. He likes Napoleon Brandy, too.
Yes, he does, doesn't he? You know, I think I'll join you. I have a weakness for good brandy.
Right. I have a weakness for women who have a weakness for good brandy.
Here you are, Mr. Shane. Mike.
Yeah. You were right, Celia. That cat was good luck. He'll be stiff in another few minutes.
What?
Yeah, that brandy is spiked with enough poison to kill Gargantua. Where'd you get this brandy, Celia?
Why, I think Mr. Ormsby gave it to me.
We'll be back in a moment with Mike Shane and the thrilling climax to our story.
About Ormsby almost sent me off on a tangent. The big idea was slow in coming, but it paid off. The whole thing fell into place. It was kind of hard to see all at once. It came out gradually. Celia, your mother didn't go into your stepfather's house before he died, did she?
She hasn't been inside that house in 15 years, Mr. Shane.
Oh, that's it. And it's so simple, so very simple. Here, let me have that brandy bottle. I'm taking it down to headquarters for a little fingerprint job.
I don't understand.
I'll be back. I'll explain it to you with gestures. Now, you probably don't know it, but you called me Mike a few seconds ago. That's enough of a start for me.
But what about Mr. Ormsby?
There's a payoff for him, too.
Hard to believe, Shane.
There's no other explanation, Sergeant. Ormsby was the only one who knew the exact terms of the will. He'd get everything if the family were all out of the way.
Yeah, he had a good idea what would happen.
And he decided to wait it out. That's why he hired that character to get rid of me.
Yeah, that makes sense. Ormsby didn't want anybody to get in the way of the natural course of events.
Yeah, an old man hates so much he can't let it die with him. He wasn't satisfied until he'd fixed it so his rotten touch reached out from the grave.
It's still hard to believe, but you can't argue with fingerprints.
Sure. There was only one answer. The fingerprints on the bottle of Napoleon brandy and the fingerprints on Mark's flask and Aunt Agatha's special milk bottle, they all matched. His plan was simple. He figured all the suspicion would rest on his wife after Agatha and Mark and Celia were dead. Yes, the fingerprints all matched. They were the fingerprints of Gregory Larson. He kept right on killing even after he was dead. There's a moral in all this somewhere. Something about evil turning on the evildoer and paying him back. I haven't quite figured it out yet, but Celia's a pretty clever girl. I think I'll show her how the other half of New Orleans lives. Take her to dinner tonight and discuss it with gestures.
Your director, Bill Russo, again. Our story was based on characters created by Brett Halliday. Our music is composed and conducted by John Duffy, and Michael Shane is portrayed by Jeff Chandler. The New Adventures of Michael Shane is a Don W. Sharp production, transcribed in Hollywood and distributed exclusively by the Broadcasters Guild. Next week, you'll hear Michael Shane in another thrilling adventure.
This is Andrea J. Graham, author of the Web Surfer series. Oh, and A Madam's Wife. You're listening to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio.
Welcome back. While a somewhat subdued ending to this story, for me, the highlight was when Shane was being led away and that whole very tense action sequence and the descriptions, I thought, very well done in that particular scene. Well, now we do turn to listener comments and feedback. And we have this from Joel, who writes, I found the old Shane more fun and appealing than this version. It tries too hard to be hard-boiled, and the hero is not very appealing. Well, I can definitely appreciate your point of view, and this is definitely a series that is probably not for everyone in the audience. If you like, Pat Novak for Hire, I think it's a good bet that you probably like this, though this one is not quite as humorous. But as always, listener taste can vary. All right, well, that will actually do it for today. Join us back here tomorrow for The Avenger. In the meantime, send your comments to Box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.